Welcome back, comedy fans, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information, learn how to subscribe, do all sorts of fun stuff at carlsoncast.com. Today's episode, of course, is number 107, which is an amazing number of episodes. Mr. Chris Fanjola is going to be here today, special guest. Today's episode is, of course, brought to you by Sapori Cafe and Catering, Rochester's favorite spot for lunch and any of your catering needs. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Sapori Rochester. Also, Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things and always be kind. Now it's your very special host. He'll be playing Naughty Santa down at the Grease Ridge Mall this holiday season. Go check him out. Tip liberally. Mr. Vinny Paulino.
It's amazing you could actually be an unsanctioned Santa Claus this time of year. Try getting away with that in June.
Turns out there's no law against it.
I thought they had a union.
A Santa union?
I think there is a Santa union.
Please. The only real Santa... You're looking at them.
Sure.
I'm going to make all of your Christmas dreams come true.
Ew.
It is the comedy at the Carlson Cast. That's how I feel.
Even I don't want that.
It's going to be a cold day in Rochester, but it is going to be lots of fun in here because we are bringing back to Rochester Mr. Chris Frangiola.
Yes.
He was a fantastic guest the last time.
Really good.
We learned a lot the last time we talked to Chris, I think. We talked about... Why Chelsea lately will never, a show like that will never be allowed on television again.
No, probably not.
That
day has passed. The ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Other metaphors.
But we got some interesting things to chat about, I think you'll find. So if you want to send Chris a question, the text line is open, 585-484-0265. Now, Brian, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was really nice, actually.
Ross, good Thanksgiving?
Yeah. It was fine.
Great. Mine was terrible. I'm ready for Christmas. And you know what I'm most excited for this year?
I love how all your personal questions are setups for you to talk about yourself. That's my favorite thing about you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's the only way to go through life.
That's called hosting a show. Yeah. I was trying to guide the ship to port.
That's what you call it. Yeah.
To harbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this particular harbor, hit by computer, is Vinny and Tommy's coming up next week, Adult Christmas. That's
my
right.
Favorite graphic.
And I'm on it too.
You're not. Live music.
I am.
That's right. Comedy. I said comedy. You're not. You can't sing or do comedy. So no, you're not on it. And we're at December 14th coming up next Saturday night. There are very few tickets left, but we are putting on quite the slobber knocker in the Rickles room for this holiday season. So we're going to have comedy, music, booze, all the staples to get you through the holiday.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
At Vinny and Tommy's Adult Christmas.
I love it.
Is that the first use of slobber knocker on this show?
I hope not.
I think it might be.
That's an old favorite. So get your tickets for Vinny and Tommy's Adult Christmas. Also, we have a lot of great holiday shows coming up. Nuts and Bolts are doing a great show this week as well. So make sure that you keep an eye out to the calendar on carlsoncomedy.com. Now, again, text line's open. Submit your questions. We are going to be back in just a few minutes with Chris Frangiola, so stay tuned.
Really cool shows coming up here at Comedy at the Carlson. Check out our schedule at carlsoncomedy.com. We have this very weekend Chris Frangiola and Sam Morrill on December 12th through the 14th. One night only, Anthony Rodia on December 18th. We have April Macy December 19th and 21st, one of our favorites. And Mike Cannon one night only December 20th in the Rickles Room. And Rich Voss December 26th to 28th. And New Year's Eve one night only with John DeCrosta, two shows, 7 to 9. Make sure to come out and hang with us. It'll be fun. And Tim Meadows January 2nd through the 4th. January 16th through the 18th, we have Trevor Wallace. And Tammy Pescatelli returns on January 23rd through the 26th. And one night only in the Rickles Room on January 24th, we have Maddie Smith and Andrew Schiavone. And Jimmy Schubert, January 31st through the 1st. And Takara Williams on February 13th through the 15th. February 20th through the 22nd, Drew Michael. And Jade Cotta Preta, January 27th through the 29th. If you need any tickets, call 5854-COMEDY or visit carlsoncomedy.com and come out and hang out with us. Come see a show. We'll be there. It'll be fun.
All Hey, everybody. We are joined in studio live with our headliner this weekend. You've seen him here before, and if you haven't, you're missing out, but you have your chance to fix that. It's Chris Frangiola.
Yes, very exciting to be back. Thank you for having me.
Isn't it great to get a huge round of applause from me and Brian?
And there was two other guys, like in the tech booth.
They don't count.
Applauded, but I heard some applause coming from
They're subhumans.
Just to be, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a horrible thing to say about our slaves. I mean, our helpers. Chris, welcome back, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Now, I heard you almost didn't make it.
I did. I mean, you guys know this too. Did you know that? You were familiar with this other Rochester?
The Minnesota one?
Rochester.
The fake one?
Yeah, but apparently they have an international airport. Like, their airport's big. So I've since learned. Anyway.
Do they call it the Rochester International Airport in Minnesota, too?
Yes. It's like one, the code, airport code is like one letter different. Anyway. And, yeah. So I landed in Chicago. Realized I had booked my ticket for Rochester, Minnesota, and wound up. I don't know if you guys ever had to change any type of flights or anything. It's just, they make it seem like it's the worst possible thing that could happen.
The people at the ticket booth go,
oh my God, this woman was like, we can't, never, you gotta, you're gonna have to live here in the airport now for the,
You didn't know there was two Rochesters?
Yeah,
come on,
exactly,
pal.
Right. So then she starts telling me all the other cities it happens in. Oh, there's a San Jose, Texas, and a San Jose, California. And I was like,
talking.
But if I miss
typing.
The 11 o'clock, it's like at 11 a.m. out of Chicago. If I miss that, then I'm out next day. So it's like 10:45. She's still chatting about all of the shit. And I'm like, oh,
there's a San Diego in Wisconsin.
Right? Yeah. Paris, Texas, Paris, France. I'm like, I got it. There's a lot of cities. I finally worked it out and I made it, I had to pay whatever change fee and the whole thing. And here I am. I made it to the Thursday night show for 55 people in a side room.
You played the Rickles last night.
I played the Rickles, yeah, which is great. The Rickles is what you
really
want comedy to be.
Yeah.
On top of you, the way I like it.
I like comedy on top of me, too.
Me, too. I like it on top of me. I like it small and low ceilings and on top of me.
I always feel like when I'm on top of comedy, I'm doing too much work.
Just
me, though.
I agree with you. I feel that way about being on top of anything.
That's
too much work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I played them all from stadiums to little rooms, and it's just more fun in no more than 120 seats.
What's the biggest you played a stadium?
Arenas.
Okay.
Yeah, with opening for Chelsea Handler, we were doing arenas. We were doing, 25,000 seats.
Just so I could fantasize a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe tell me what it's like to walk out in front of 25,000 people, because you have to change your game up a little bit.
You have to change your game up a little bit. You have to be a little more animated, although you realize that for the most part, people are just looking at the screens, the two giant screens on either side of you.
Does that relieve a lot of pressure, knowing that they're not looking directly at you?
Yeah, and then you could see, my takeaway from most of the ones we played, was you could still see everything. So, people way back are not as connected as they would be if they were right in the front.
Right.
So you could see people like walking to get beer and walking down the aisles. There's a lot of commotion in those big venues. Not everyone's sitting and watching like they would be in a comedy club. So, that throws you a little bit when you're just watching people meander about as if they're at a concert or, a sporting event or something. They're just moving around.
Does that mess up your concentration?
It did in the beginning. Then we played a lot of them, so I eventually got used to it and just was able to handle it.
Right. Now, I think that I would be a puddle of jello if I had to do that. How far can you see when you're doing an arena?
All of it. Every face.
God. Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. It's weird how, when they're empty, I don't know what's your arena here? What would be like the 15,000 seats?
It's like 10 or 12.
10, 10 or 12.
I think it's a little bigger than that.
Yeah. Like, but that it's not that big when you're inside it. You're like 10 or 12. It's like, it's big, but you're like, I could see everything. I could see the back of the room. And so you see it all.
God, that's got to be a little nerve-wracking the first time you do it.
It is. It was nerve-wracking. It was, and it's honestly, I don't think I know a lot more guys these days are doing big venues, and it seems like more than ever in comedy. You know, it used to be, God, it was like Andrew Dice Clay was like the one guy who did in Madison Square Garden. You know, now there's Sebastian and you know, Bill Burr. Everyone's doing the Garden. But Amy Schumer, I think. It's just not conducive to comedy. I know it's everybody wants to get there for the paycheck, but I think most guys would rather be playing a Rickles room for 120 people.
Well, let me throw this out at you. I'm going to throw you two venues at you. You tell me which one you'd rather do.
Okay.
Would you rather do Madison Square Garden, or would you rather do Carnegie Hall?
I've done Carnegie Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, opened for Chelsea at Carnegie Hall. So it was great.
Huge difference between the places.
Huge difference. I would rather do Carnegie Hall. It's it's a theater. It's made for it. You know, the Garden's made for Led Zeppelin and the Knicks. So
and WWE.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So I think you need a lot more to get people's attention.
Yeah.
And it's just so many more people there. So many more. You know, a lot more things can go wrong. It could be a lot more. Sure. You know, people yelling shit out or phones going off or whatever the case may be.
And I think when you walk into Carnegie Hall, it's freaking Carnegie Hall. Yeah. You know to be respectful.
People are behaving.
You're like, all right, this is a nice place. Right.
I think a pretty good rule of thumb is like you want to play the room that doesn't have urinal troughs.
Right.
Like,
troughs. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I'd rather
think. That is a good rule.
I'm going to put that in my writer. Yeah. No troughs.
Yeah, no troughs. Although I think, is that a thing of the past? I don't know if there's troughs anymore. You ever see online where the people, they jump in them? And slide down them. It's a thing that like kids were doing online.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's the grossest thing you'll ever see in your life. They jump in the trough and slide down it on their stomach as if they're sliding into a home plate.
This calls for a trip to YouTube.
And it's a thing. There's hundreds of them. People sliding down troughs they're just filled with piss all over them.
I guess if you eat a Tide Pod, though, then nothing can,
nothing can
harm you at that point. Yeah, you're all disinfected.
Go vape your lungs out, you little freaks. So, yeah, that's their deal.
So you eat the Tide Pod, you chuck a cloud, and then you slide across the thing.
You slide down a trough at Wrigley Field or wherever they still have troughs.
And then you say something about MS into a camera.
Right.
Ed,
this
generation, folks.
Unbelievable.
I'm looking up trough, urinal troughs.
Urinal trough sliders?
Sliding down a urinal trough.
Speaking of big performances.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, but on the last episode, all three of us equally were very wrong about something.
Oh, no.
We had a very long conversation
about
how Eddie Murphy was never going to do comedy again.
I know. Isn't that funny? But I'll say this. He has yet to do it. So
you're sticking by it.
I'm going to stick by it because remember he was supposed to host the Oscars a few years ago and just quit.
He didn't.
He didn't. I think as much as I love Eddie Murphy and love Dolomite on Netflix, if you haven't seen it, I suggest you watch it. It's very good. Eddie's one of those guys who just doesn't like to do. I don't know if you saw his at the Comedians in Cars.
Yeah, yeah.
He basically says, I don't do anything anymore. Like, and I like it. He do nothing, I mean nothing. I'll sit in the house and stare at the wall for hours. So, I think Eddie, there's always been rumors. You know, here I go again. So, can Eddie Murphy go into a club and work on this Netflix hour that's paying him whatever that's paying him? But I still haven't heard if he signed that check, you know, on the dotted line. I heard there was an offer. That's what I heard. But I have not heard that if he took the offer.
I heard that he did.
I don't think he writes material. I think he's got writers.
Yeah, I think he's going to have writers.
Yeah,
no,
he did back in the
anything.
Raw days. You know, he had Robert Townsend wrote for him. The Wayans guys wrote for him. But still, okay, even if this guy's writing for him, you still have to go out and hash it out. You know, you got to go do it at clubs or theaters or whatever the case may be.
I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going right to Netflix.
Hey, hit my PC real quick. Yeah.
Is this Troth?
Listen, this is footage from
here it is.
Chelsea's last show.
Oh, my God. That is unbelievable.
Okay, you get off of that.
That's the best thing you've ever seen in your life.
All right, that is disgusting. Yeah.
I just have to say, thank you for turning me on to that.
Yeah, yeah, you're welcome.
Going
it's
down.
Amazing that there was so many people watching it. And then what do you do with that guy after? Is like that a, is, are you excited for him? Like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, like, that's so gross.
Do you never speak, never like look him guy, in the
remember,
eye again?
Remember, yeah, remember when the when the Eagles won the Super Bowl and that kid ate the horse shit on the street? Did you watch that?
Yeah.
He, like, got down on his hands and knees and, like, ate horse shit on the street because the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And so in the video, he's wearing a scarf. And you see him, he's about to go eat the shit. And he takes the scarf and moves it out of the way. Like, I don't want my scarf to get in the shit. I'll eat it, but I'm going to get my scarf in that horse shit. So, anyway.
Listen, people don't have a lot of scarves. You know, if you have a scarf, you got one scarf and you got to take care of it.
You don't want to get the horse
shit. Got to protect the scarf.
I mean, I'm a sports fan. I don't know if I'm a horse. If any of my teams ever won, I don't think I'd eat shit.
Really? Yeah. You don't think so?
I can't say that.
You don't see your team doing something good that makes you want to celebrate by eating the defecation from another animal?
Not at this point. Oh. You know, I can't say that.
Well, they trained you well in Ronkonkoma.
Yeah, in Ronkonkoma.
It's because you're not committed enough.
I maybe not. You know, like that kid who just jumped in the piss.
If you don't love the Islanders enough,
not enough to eat shit. No, I don't. No. So that's. But yeah, so Eddie Murphy, it remains to be seen if he's out doing stand-up again and I could one day watch a Netflix special. You know, I think he's hosting Saturday Night Live in a couple of weeks.
Yes, he is.
So that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's been back to Saturday Night Live.
Since that reunion,
which he came out and said did nothing.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and that was it.
Gave a little speech and walked away.
Right. So, I mean, he's going to do an hour, you know, with 90 minutes and sketches and you know, that's crazy. I don't think there's ever been a more anticipated guest than him on Saturday Night Live.
No, I wonder if he's going to be willing to do his old stuff.
Like, is he going to do Gumby?
Yeah.
He better do Gumby.
Is he going to do Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood? You know, yeah.
I don't think he does Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Yeah.
I think he does Gumby.
You think
Even though nobody knows Gumby except for him doing Gumby.
I think they probably do a clever way of him not doing Gumby. Like, that's going to be the opening bit. They'll be coming out with, like, the Gumby outfit and the Mips, and he'll be... You know, they'll do something that he won't have to do those things. I don't know.
That's actually a pretty good call.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good call.
Right. So I don't see him getting in the Gumby outfit. Because, like you said, anyone watching Saturday Night Live, I don't think remembers Gumby, the real Gumby, the little claymation Gumby and Pokey that I used to watch. Which I didn't realize when I was watching it as a kid, it was religious themed. But it is.
Gumby was?
Yeah, Gumby was.
Gumby was indoctrinating kids?
It was done by a church organization. That's look it up. I forget what church organization it was, but it was a religious program.
I had no idea.
Yeah, neither did I. And then, but it has, like, very, you know, positive messages, and it was done at the end. It says Church of something something.
Look out for the blockheads.
Yeah.
Hail Satan.
Yeah. So anyway, but Gumby and Pokey were like religious.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go friendly wager with you. I'm going to say he does do Gumby.
I think he does Gumby too.
All right.
But our record of prognostication is not excellent.
Does he do buckwheat? Yeah, I don't think you can do buckwheat anymore.
No. That's why same reason you can't do Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. I don't think you do buckwheat. I can do Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. Even I don't know. James Brown, Hot Tub. I mean, listen, Eddie Murphy was like, if I were Eddie Murphy, I wouldn't even, like, why come back? You're the, for my money, he's the best there ever was. I think Raw and the albums, you know, before the Raw, the one where he's got the rose behind his ear, whatever, the best I've ever heard stand up wise for me.
I know, you're a big fan.
Listening to it now, I mean, some of the stuff, it's like he does a whole faggot for 20 minutes about. You know, the honeymoon is being gay or whatever. I mean, so that stuff, can't do that. So it'll be interesting to see.
Now, what have you been keeping yourself busy with? What have you been up to this last year since we've seen you?
I'm on the road a ton. I'm out there still. I'm doing three cities a month. So I'm doing Spade Show, Lights Out with David Spade. Right. I'm doing a lot of that. I got my fourth one coming up Wednesday. I'm back on Wednesday this week. So that show's doing well.
I really like it. I didn't watch it for a little bit, but the last couple of weeks I've been watching it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
He's actually a really good interviewer.
It's been good. He got better. I was there for the test shows. So we did like a week of test shows where we actually ran at real shows.
Are you writing on that show?
I did some.
Okay.
I'm not every day. I'm not there every day. So yeah. But so in the test shows, he was, you know, he's a little stiff and had trouble like working with three guys at the same time, and everyone talks over each other and things like that. But it's gotten much better.
Yeah, so. See, I've only watched the some of the more recent ones. So.
And the monologue's great. You know, it's David Spade. David Spade's a funny guy. Oh, yeah. I mean, I love.
He's an underrated comic.
Spade's HBO special from years ago. I forget what it's called. He filmed it in Arizona. He opens with that. Remember that Space Hog song? In the meantime, wait and see. Yeah. He comes out to that. It's one of the funniest specials I've ever seen.
It is really good.
And it's so good. Spade's really, really funny, his stand-up. And he's good on that show. It's good. Ratings-wise, these days TVs are so different, you know? I mean, it just doesn't matter anymore.
Calculate
Watches it that way. 11:30 on Comedy Central, there's 10 people watching, you know? But they watch on Instagram and they watch it on Clips and
I watch clips of it on YouTube.
Everybody does.
And that's the cool thing about a panel show like that. It is very clippable.
It's very clippable. Yeah.
And that's what makes it adds a lot to the success of it.
It changes every year. Like I was on Chelsea Lately. The network we were on, they were very anti any clips. Don't why put it on there when they won't go watch it at 11 o'clock then if you give it to them there. That was the thinking back then.
Yeah.
How quickly that's all, like, now forget about it. Throw everything online. Otherwise, you're done.
Okay. Yeah, because you still get ad revenue from that, too.
Right.
So,
yeah.
That show's on Comedy Central, right? Spade show.
Comedy Central, after the Daily Show.
In your opinion, I mean, what is what's the difference between working with, like, an E versus working with a Comedy Central?
I mean, E in our case was great because they were very hands off. They didn't really do a lot of comedy, so we were like the one comedy show they had outside of The Soup, and they were they were great in that regard. They were like, do whatever you want. I don't think they even watched or knew half the time what we were doing.
They kind of realized that we don't know what we're talking about. We should probably just let them play.
But I think Comedy Central's. I mean, I haven't had any issues at Spade yet, but I think they're a little more. Concerned about who's on the panel and I think they're looking for like a hip quality over there with the comics, not so much so like on Chelsea Lately. It didn't matter, we could have anybody on, and he didn't know comics, but I think those guys know them and they want a certain type of comic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or they want whoever's got a special coming up or whatever.
And not even that. I think it's just guys that, that Spade likes because they're doing the old guys. They're doing Dennis Miller. They're putting on Lovitz. They're putting on the old Saturday Night Live guys. So, I mean, most TV shows these days, you're an old white guy, forget about it. You don't even bother. But, on Spade show, they're putting – and it's working for that reason. The reason why Dennis Miller is Dennis Miller is because he's good. And he can handle that kind of stuff. So watching, I don't know if you saw this a couple of nights ago, they did the three of them. It was the three old SNL anchors. It was Norm MacDonald, Nealon, and Dennis Miller all together.
How did I miss that?
And it was great. It's on Instagram. It's great. I mean, they just talk about Saturday Night Live for an hour, or a half hour. It's great. Yeah, so. And actually, then the next night they have – everybody, the other three call in. Colin Quinn calls in, Fallon calls in, and Colin Jost calls in.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, the fact that you get the host of The Tonight Show to call into your show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Spade's got, he's a good guy, and everyone likes him, so he's getting some big-time people on there.
He seems to be universal.
Is he a good guy, Chris? Is he a good guy?
He has been to me. Okay. I mean, I'm not hearing anything about him. You never know.
I was just going for dirt.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't been. I mean, he's like a single guy who's out there, banging all these young girls or whatever. Yeah. So, but he's never been Me Too'd or anything, thank God. So he's still standing.
Yeah.
So there's something there.
So you've been doing that. You've been touring all over the place.
And then I have a new project coming up that I can't really talk about. I mean, because I hate when people say that. But it's for like a whole new network that's coming out.
Okay, hold on. Can we play 20 questions with it? You don't have to tell us, but we could just ask some
questions and maybe hint around. You could definitely play 20 questions. It's basically going to be the... Okay, yes. Let's play 20 questions. Okay. I'll tell you.
Streaming service?
It's a streaming service.
Okay.
Is it the Trump News Network?
I'll be on the new Trump News Network.
Is it for the Charisma News Network?
Yeah, the Charisma.
So, it's a new stream. It's going to premiere in April, and it's basically going to
sitcom.
No, not in this case. But they're
show?
Are doing a lot of comedy. they're doing a lot of comedy. They're making a play for what Netflix, you know, Netflix has their guys, you know, whether it be Kreischer or Segura or, you know, whoever Netflix has. These guys are making a play for comedy in a big way. Okay. So there's a lot of comics going over to this new network.
Okay.
Does it involve cats?
Cats?
Yeah.
Like cats?
Like cats.
No. Not that I know of.
It's not going to make it on the internet.
Katzenberg, then. Jeffrey Katzenberg is involved.
That's all that works on the internet.
Yeah. Louis Katz?
Louis Katz is involved, yeah. No cats. No
okay,
cats.
So is there, apart from me...
it's going to be one of those things where, I mean, I think every... You know, this is the new thing is going to be the phone. Everything... People are just going to watch everything on their phone, and that's what this company. It's huge. It's the names involved in this that's coming out in March is the biggest people in the show business, and they're running this company. It's basically going to be the new Netflix. So they want. So the thing I'm doing is it's going to be comics.
Chris Frangiola's show.
Yeah, this is a Chris Frangiola show.
Yeah,
yes. You won't see me back at this little shit box. You guys are
don't blame me. Can we come play at your shitbox?
Yeah. So it's basically the comics doing the you'll get your news from comedians in a club. So every day, what's happening in the news, the next day will be done by comics in a club, and you'll watch 7-minute segments of four comics doing the headlines of the day.
See, that's brilliant. No, I feel like streaming services combined with live content are where it's at right now.
Yeah.
And that's just period, end of story. And people don't realize the reason why TVs are so cheap right now, and it's because they've been around, they're easier to make, but people don't watch them as much.
Yeah.
Not only watch them as much, I'm older than you guys, but...
Not Brian.
Yeah, no. But you talk to a 21-year-old. Yeah. They don't even know what the fuck it is. They would. Yeah. I'm not kidding. There's going to be a time in the near future where you talk to a 21-year-old kid, he won't know how to turn on a television. And I believe that to be true. They're going to do phones. They're going to do whatever, laptops, whatever the case may be. Like I tell guys about comedy, Lights Out with David Spade after shows. They don't know what Comedy Central is.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know who David Spade is. I don't know what Comedy Central is.
My daughter was laying in her bed the other day watching a movie on her phone, and I was like, nobody's in the living room. You can just watch it on the TV. And she's like, no, I'm fine.
I know. It's unbelievable. We went – it's like podcasts, which, honestly, we kind of got away from radio and whatever, and then you would think, who's going to sit and listen to 2 hours of people talking? And they did. They kind of came back to – people talking. Podcasts are big, and I never saw. I wouldn't have predicted that. And then the screen just kept getting bigger, and all you wanted was a 50 inch, and then a 80 inch, and now everyone's back to the little tiny screen again.
How frustrating is that to you as a guy who's produced a lot of television to know that you put all this effort into making that show look great, and everybody's just watching it on a 4 inch screen?
It's very frustrating because I feel like it's only going to get worse, and it's just attention spans are gone. Like getting people to sit and watch something.
We'll be watching 30-second clips on our watches.
I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm the same. Yeah. I look at a clip and I see 6 minutes. I'm like, fuck that. That's too long for me.
Yeah.
Give me a kid jumping.
I could watch three clips of that much time.
Yeah, give me a kid jumping and piss for 10 seconds, and I'll watch. But I'm not going to watch a kid jump and piss for 5 minutes. Absolutely not. Yeah. So I think it's going to. It's one of those things where, what's the line that Jeff Goldblum says in Jurassic Park? Like, you've spent so much time wondering if you could do it, you never thought about whether
never
you should.
Never stopped to think
if
you should.
Yeah, but that's the way all this is. Like, did we, like Amazon, and we did it, but it closed down every fucking storefront. It closed down every mall. The phones have stopped anyone from doing anything anymore, coming out to the live show. So we did it, but... At what cost?
Who was that director a few years ago? Who was it? Scorsese. That
he
like
said it a couple days ago.
He fought hard to not allow his movies to be released digitally because he didn't want people watching them on a phone.
Well, he just said it about the Irishman. He said, "Please do not watch this movie on your phone. Like, it's not made."
Do you know how much we spent on the CGI for Joe Pesci's face?
Yeah. Like I shot it to look gorgeous, beautiful. Honestly, I don't want. I haven't seen The Irishman yet. I don't want to watch it on Netflix. It's just not.
I went to the theater and saw it.
Yeah,
I went a couple weeks ahead of time.
I'm going to go as well when I get back to L.A. So, now, how is it?
7 out of 10.
Seven out of ten. Is it too long, or is it the Goodfellas, another hour of the Goodfellas?
No, it doesn't feel like Goodfellas, and it doesn't feel like Casino. It's its own movie, which is fine. It was fine. It was good. You know who deserves an Academy Award out of that?
Ray Romano.
Correct. No.
No.
Pacino, I think, does, actually.
Really?
Out of all the people in it, I think Pacino was great.
Yeah, okay.
Because Pacino, you know, he's playing Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
No, no spoiler.
Right.
And Jimmy Hoffa was a real animated guy, and Al Pacino's kind of an animated guy.
Right. Well, he is
at
now,
times.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. It was pretty good casting.
Okay, good. Yeah, you know, I mean, I love it, of course. I love Scorsese and any type of, you know. How's Pesci? Like, Pesci, I feel like it's like kind of semi-retired, but he just comes out
and
he plays
the character exactly like that.
Yeah, he just comes out to do Scorsese movies every now and again.
He just pops up and he's like, yeah, you know, I very low-key character.
Yeah, right.
You know, intense, but low-key.
It's amazing to me that Pesci just kind of said, I don't really need to work anymore.
Yeah.
Just golf.
God bless him.
Yeah, he's in L.A., he just golfs every
single day.
You think
he was
letting
Eddie Murphy outshine him?
In a way, you know what? I was thinking about somebody who mentioned David Caruso. You know,
what happened to him?
Well, it's funny you mention that. So I was like, God, David Caruso was huge. I mean, not only did he have...
He did one season at NYPD Blue. It was one of the biggest actors
in
the world.
And became the biggest star in the world. Then he left, and it was so shocking. Like, he left to go make movies. And then he came back and had, like, a huge thing again with CSI Miami. Remember, huge again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then I was like, wow, just kind of went. And then I looked him up and it says retired, living in Miami, like Florida. Like
solving crimes in Miami.
Yeah, just putting his sunglasses on and saying like some sticky line.
Now he's solving crimes in his backyard.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, I guess at that point, like, I'm done. Like, you could retire as an electrician or a plumber. Why not retire as a guy in show business? I'm done.
Do you think you'd do that if you got, like, if you get 100%. The one big payday?
You're kidding me.
Gone.
Say you get a 30. I'm the same way.
Gone.
If I somehow got, like, a $30 million payday.
Yeah.
Everybody said, what would you do if you got a $30 million?
Yeah.
I was like, nothing.
Nothing.
I disagree with both of you.
That.
Really?
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
When Eddie Murphy said I could sit and stare at the wall all day, I was totally on board with him.
I
understand that 100%.
I'm disgusted.
Especially when you're
younger than us.
Yeah.
Wait till you hit your 40s.
Right.
Listen,
right.
If you think
I'm done,
I can't be lazy, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is there's something about performing that if you're a performer, it's hard to see.
You're
back.
Talking about live performing. You're talking about the Rickles Room on a Saturday night.
I am.
Yes, I agree with that. That would be something I would probably still continue to do.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But hustling
like that,
but. And you know, trying to get another big gig. No, I would not do that anymore. I'm done with that.
You wouldn't want to just, you know, continue to write your own stuff just to write your own stuff.
Stand up wise, yes, that's still.
But we're talking. You're talking writing. And acting
right.
And performing in television and movies.
No, I would be done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I hear. I feel like it's not a fun job, as fun as people think it is.
Acting is
brutal.
It's mind-numbingly boring.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, especially if you're a live performer, which that's why I think in a lot of cases, guys like Ray, you know, Romano and Sebastian, who's in that as well, like they get, you coming off the stage wherever Ray's playing or Sebastian's playing, and then you go to, you know, sit in a trailer for hours on end to shoot for 30 seconds and then, you know, have to take 19 takes. And it's boring. It's why I feel like you see a lot of singers like Beyonce and Lady Gaga. They do movies for a little while, but then they're done with them. You don't see them go back to movies. Like, look at Beyonce. Beyonce was, you know, Dreamgirls, and she had some big movies.
Austin Powers 3.
Mm-hmm. Now she's kind of like, it's boring for me, who can go out and play to 100,000 people and be done in an hour. To sit in a trailer and wait all day is boring. Yeah. Like Barbara Streisand. She did movies for a little while.
Doing it for like a month.
Yeah, it's. I think it's boring for those people. Live performers, I think film and TV becomes boring. And now, you know, you can make so much more money. And I have a buddy who was on My Boys with Gaffigan. Remember that show, My Boys on TBS, Jim Gaffigan?
Okay.
It was like four guys with this girl, and it ran for 4 or 5 seasons. But Gaffigan said, I'm losing money on this show. I make so much more on the road that this is not fun for me anymore. Like,
sorry, everybody else.
Yeah, I know. To be on TBS is, you know, they weren't paying him what he could get, you know, doing a theater. Mm-hmm. So
you're going to do some live streaming stuff. The Chris Frangiola show's coming.
Yeah. It's a live streaming stuff on your phone. So you're just going to watch every day. You'll be able to watch the news.
In spite of Scorsese's information, in spite of what Scorsese told us all, you're still going to do it.
Well, it's not going to be shot like a Goodfellas. You know, we're not going to be out there, you know, lining the streets with, you know, cars from 1957. Yeah. So there's going to be New York Comics doing one and LA Comics doing one, and they're going to combine them together. This is the perspective of some New York comics. They shoot it. We're shooting it Sunday nights. Every Sunday night, we shoot the week's worth. And Sunday night at 6 o'clock at the Improv on Melrose, we shoot.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I'll be there.
Awesome. Yeah, and then I think they're doing it at the Comedy Cellar in New York. So,
congratulations. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, so that's gonna be fun. We start that in April.
So. There's lots of opportunities to see Chris. You'd be able to see him on television, but you could also see him here. There are four more shows here.
Four more shows here. You know, I got to say, for an old white guy, when in this business, you know, it's over. But I've had like a little bit of, in the last like year and a half, I've had a little bit of a resurgence in my. I thought it was over. The road I could always do. You know, that Funny Bones and places I could still do. But like TV and stuff, I thought was kind of over for me. But it's been coming back, which has been kind of nice.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So it's been good.
Now,
you
know,
I'm enjoying it.
Let me ask you this question before you get out of here. What's the dream job for you, you think? What's the dream job for you where you feel like you would be suited for?
The dream job for me, honestly, I think was Chelsea Lately. I think that was as fun and as good as a show as I like pop culture fucking joke. I like doing that. You know, it's not hard for me to make Lindsay Lohan jokes, and I enjoy it. Right. I still keep up with, you know, as embarrassing as it might be to say, I keep up with Selena Gomez and what these people are doing. It does interest me. Mm-hmm. So to make those jokes every day and see them that night, which is very rare. And, you know, in comedy, Spade's the same way, that show. You get to, you know, you do it that day and it's on that night. So
it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's great. That's great. So that was a dream job. It was so much fun, and we're able to do whatever we wanted.
So in other words, you're ready to
retire. People watch, you know. That's my one takeaway from being on that show for 8 years. I didn't realize how hard it was to have a hit television show. And it's almost impossible. And if you have one, you got to hang on tight, you know. I would never leave a hit show. Not that I left that show; it just ended. But so that was a dream job. My dream now is to sell stand up, but selling larger venues. That's what I would love to do. If I was at the point of like, you know, Kreischer and Segura, where they're, you know, got a tour bus and they're doing theaters and they're selling out, that's what I want. Theo Vaughn's like a guy who just blew up. It's happening to these guys, you know. They're just blowing up, and next thing you know, they go from half-sold clubs to, you know, theaters overnight. In some case, Ali Wong.
It does happen almost.
Yeah, Ali Wong couldn't sell a ticket anywhere on the road. I mean, it was 3 weeks later she was selling out Radio City Music Hall 10 nights. It was crazy, just because of that Netflix special.
You have a very interesting perspective on the business because, you know, you've been out in LA. Yeah. You've been working in a very, I mean, one of the, like you said, a hit show. You have a perspective that not a lot of people have. Right. So let me ask you this question. And this question is the last one I'm going to ask you. I'll let you get out of here and enjoy your morning.
Thank you.
But if you had to start all over again, Chris, if you decided yesterday you were going to become a comedian.
Right.
In 2019, where would you focus your attention? Where would you start?
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't know how you start anymore. I really don't. I see these guys, you know, at Comedy Store in L.A., for instance.
Sure.
They're hanging out there. It's different than when I was coming up. The Comedy Store wasn't really a thing. There was 10 people in the crowd when I was starting. But now it's, you forget, line down the block. And these guys are hanging, young guys are hanging out at the bar there. And they're hanging out trying to get a spot. And they're doing roast battle. And I don't know if that's the way to go. I say you make your way in bar shows and those kind of things and get good and do the road, man. The road pays and I don't know. I don't know how people do it these days. People tell you, you know, make an Instagram account and do viral videos, but that's fucking one in a million too.
Yeah.
Like getting a
it's
following
one in a bazillion.
Yeah, right. Getting a following on there. So It's tough. I just don't know. You know, when I was coming up, and you guys probably you knocked around in bar shows, and then you got good,
yeah.
And then you became better, and somebody put you. You know, you became the headliner of the bar show, and then you became the. You know, it just happened in LA. In my case, you know, and it happens with a lot of guys in LA. Not so much in other cities, but if you're good, eventually somebody comes into the club and hires you to do work on TV. That's just the way it happened for me and a lot of guys, you know. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, he's great and he headlines, so he should write on this or be on that. And but now you don't have to be in LA anymore. Look at Dusty Slay. I don't know if you guys know Dusty Slay.
Oh, we know Dusty
Slay. Dusty Slay, Nate Bergatz. Like, those guys never moved to LA. Dusty's out of Nashville. Right. I think Nate is as well. They just became the best guy in their city. And now that works. You become the best guy in your city, and it used to have to be you got to be in New York or LA. But now, fuck it. I know so many people who just made it becoming the best in their city. Going down the circuit around and then becoming Dusty and, you know, Nate.
Wow.
You know?
Well, folks.
There you go.
That's it. I guess the trick to starting in comedy is get good at comedy.
Get good at comedy.
Yeah, be funny.
Yeah.
Get good at comedy.
You gotta and do the road. Don't be afraid. The fucking road is where you have to be good. You have to have an hour on a Saturday night where shit's going to fucking, glasses are going to break. People are going to be drunk. You know, I feel that people aren't doing that anymore. They're giving a 23-year-old guy a late night set on Jimmy Fallon, and then they're throwing him on the road. And he's got 15 minutes, and he doesn't know what to do when the waitress drops glasses. And that shit, guys like me and Jimmy Schubert and the old fucking guys who know have been doing it a long time, that's why clubs like us. Because, you know, we can handle a weekend of shit. And there's going to be a lot of weekends of shit.
Not this weekend. Four more shows.
You should have heard that air conditioner in the fucking Rickles room last night. Oh, you think Jade Catapretta can handle that? Oh, absolutely not.
Please, show your clips, Jade.
Yeah.
But you could see Chris Frangiola this weekend. Four more shows, like we said. You could also tune in this Wednesday night. See him on Lights Out with David Spade.
Lights Out with David Spade Wednesday night, yes.
And your podcast, Cover to Cover,
Cover
right?
to Cover. It's a great podcast.
It is a great podcast.
Having a lot of fun doing that.
You get a lot of tread with that. A lot of people like it.
I know. People started listening. It's been a good one.
It has.
That's a lot of fun to do. You guys like doing this?
On some days.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Today we do, though.
Yeah,
because
I'm such a lovely. But, yeah, people are like, you do twice a week. I'm like, twice a week? It's hard enough to do once a week. Man.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing. Content, 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 content. Everybody wants more content. But that's not the conversation we're going to have. Get your tickets now, 585-4-COMEDY, or visit carlsoncomedy.com. Come see Chris this weekend. You will not regret it.
Yeah, please come.
Before
get
he blows
out of the
up.
House, man.
Before he blows up and makes good on his promise never to show up here
never
again.
Never show up again. Yeah.
He'll be playing Rochester, Minnesota.
Yeah, on my way back.
He almost had a gig at the Rochester, Minnesota airport bar.
I almost had to do it, yeah. I was almost stuck there like that movie with Tom Hanks where he's stuck in the airport. Was it?
All right, we're going to be back with the news with Ross in just a minute. Stay tuned, everybody. For episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.
Hey, folks. We are very excited because it has been a long time since we've done a new segment. And we're even excited that Ross is here. So, let's do it.
Are we?
Ross?
Why wouldn't you be?
Well.
Why wouldn't you be, Vinny?
I'm very excited. Tell me something interesting.
We don't want to have the show last 3 hours. We're not going to explain.
Fair enough. So, 2019's most, I'd say, most inexplicably fuckable comedian, Pete Davidson. Let's start there. It's not Brian, believe it or not. So, apparently, I don't know if you guys heard about this. This is fascinating. So, apparently, the Saturday Night Live star guy is asking people at his shows to sign a contract stipulating that they won't reveal any of his jokes upon penalty of $1 million payout. Probably not legally enforceable, but interesting.
I've heard conflicting rumors about this. I heard it was just for one show that he was recording.
Well, okay, true,
but
yes.
But then I've also heard that, no, he's done it other places, too.
Okay, I had only
so
heard...
So I've heard conflicting rumors, and yeah, I don't know which one is true.
I had heard about the one specifically, and then,
if it
you
was
know, open-ended,
he was
maybe he was
if
doing
it. If
it
was something he was recording, kind of get it. If he was doing it multiple places, that's just weird.
Yeah, well, and I don't know... I like Pete Davidson. He's a good guy. I don't think he's evil. I think he's funny. He's talented. I don't know if he's quite at the level of the that sort of diva kind of behavior. I don't know. I mean, like, or is Joe so brilliant? I don't know.
I'm going to basically go the opposite direction of everybody else. Okay. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
And here's why I'm fine with it. There was a situation that happened a little bit over a year ago with Louis C.K., do you recall? When he was doing those jokes about Parkland, he was working on new material.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody used a cell phone and filmed his set and put it on the internet and caused a whole bunch of problems for him. Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're working on new jokes, if you're working on something that people could take out of context, he's basically trying to cover his own ass.
Yeah, I guess I can see that point.
Yeah, and honestly, well, people who come to the shows don't have the respect for comedic performance that they have the same respect at a movie theater. They know not to go film parts of a movie on your cell phone. Well, people don't do that at comedy shows. They think they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, this isn't about filming. This is about talking about what you saw. It's also, it's 100% legally unenforceable. Like, there's no way anybody's ever going to pay this $1 million. You know,
but if
so
they do just once, it was worth it.
I don't know. I get it. I mean, as far as filming, that's one thing. The idea of, like, you cannot go talk about this performance or I'm going to threaten
it's
you.
It's an NDA, man.
Non-disclosure.
Yeah, but
you know what? As an audience, as a paying member of an audience, to tell me, like, you're not allowed to talk about what you saw here, that's asking a lot of me. That's like a that's like I wouldn't go. I get maybe that's the thing. I guess the context is he's they're sort of showing this to people at the door as they get there, which is part of the reason it's.
You would think that it would be something they'd have to sign when you buy the tickets online or something like that.
Yeah. I just feel like I'm not willing to go that far to accommodate someone. You know, it's like if I went to a movie and people were like, you may not talk about this movie.
I kind of wish they'd do that with some movies, though.
Well.
You know, because then I wouldn't have to, like, turn my phone off until I see the next Star Wars movie. It's true. You know?
I don't know. Anyway.
Leia dies. Keep going.
Okay, so I don't know if you've heard of this guy. I'd sort of heard his name. Very popular Christian comedian, John Christ. And this happened a couple weeks ago, but I haven't been here. So
John Christ?
Throw this. John Christ.
Oh, I see what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a time you take a stage name. I'm just saying.
Is that him? At the Dove Awards?
So, very popular...
Oh, the K-Love Fan Awards. Okay.
Very popular Christian, clean, comedian guy. He's in a bit of trouble. Multiple women have come forward. They came forward to the Christian magazine Charisma News, which...
Wait, what?
Brian's got a
Wait, what was the name of it?
Charisma News.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is not what I would have thought that magazine was about.
Poor choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, are you saying that Mr. Christ got Me Too'd?
He got Me Too'd, and he had a Netflix special upcoming that's been canceled. He had a comedy special from a Christian publisher and a book that's also being postponed. Sounds like it might be gone forever. So according to this, a pattern of emotional and sexual manipulation that included offering performance tickets in exchange for sexual favors and making advances on married and partnered women over the course of the past 7 years. Five women have come forward. He did the thing, which seems to be the thing that people do, where he went, well, you know, I have been involved in some behavior of which I'm not ashamed. And this isn't the worst things, like basically denying like the illegal, like,
yeah,
I did a bunch of this stuff, but not the things that specifically could get me into legal trouble, but everything up to that. And I'm sorry.
And I repented. So everything's okay.
Of course.
That's
so
handy.
You will be surprised at how far that goes with the charisma readers.
I repented. It's all good.
I sort of expected to see the story and see that for whatever reason in my head, like the idea was the Christian contingent was going to be like, okay, well, he apologized. That's fine. It seems like they've dropped him like a hot potato as well. Good. So he, John Crist, I
read a lot of his allegations, and they are pretty egregious.
Yeah, so I feel like he's maybe minor leagues.
I haven't read one of them. I don't know what he did.
No, it's not Cosby level, but you can see it from where you were standing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. Okay.
Yeah. A little bit of a, well, and we love a good hypocrisy story. Mel Brooks, not a hypocrite at all, to my knowledge. He's a pretty good guy. He's getting a...
yeah, he treats everybody terribly all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
The 93-year-old...
Nothing if not consistent.
93-year-old legend's getting a HBO documentary called Mel Brooks Unwrapped, a look back at comedy icon Mel Brooks' legendary career in film and television. That's going to be debuting next week on HBO. So it's going to include interviews with Mel Brooks from the present and the past, as well as, other friends and people talking about his great career. Just thought it was fun because I like Mel Brooks.
I like Mel Brooks too.
I think everybody likes Mel Brooks, right?
It's important to do something like that before the guy's gone.
You know what? These people,
so
though,
they get to enjoy it.
Like there's this generation of like the Norman Lears and the Betty Whites and the Mel Brooks of like the people that just seem like they're going to be like 120 and it's going to be fine.
I think there was a secret convention sometime in the 60s.
Absolutely.
They all sacrificed something and ate it.
Yeah.
And they're going to live forever.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. However many babies it took, you know, because it's worth it, I say.
Yeah.
So whatever
keeps Lear young.
I'll wrap up with a little, little Nightmare Before Christmas action. The Super Bowl gala. There's going to be a Super Bowl gala February 1st. Very exciting for sports fans, I assume. This is going to be held at Mar-a-Lago, starring a big comeback for a certain Miss Roseanne Barr. She will be. So these are the trumpets that you're seeing on the screen. So this is a special gala that the trumpets hold every year. This is a group of one presumes women of a certain age.
I have not yet received my invitation.
Absolutely, you can sign up online. I actually did a little research and went to their website. There are videos. You can see past performances. You can see them singing.
Goes my afternoon.
This group promises that they are there to support president and savior of our country with a lot of questionable grammar, Donald J. Trump. Previous headliners at Trumpets Gallets have included John Voight. So they are not, they do not have trouble getting the big names.
Again, nothing if not consistent.
So if you want to see these ladies and Roseanne Barr, it's actually already sold out, so you can't go. But... You know,
more timely news.
Well,
from Russ.
You know, so you should get your tickets at the Carlson.
Shocking! Roseanne is going to play basically a Trump rally.
A Trumpette rally. I have nothing else to say to that other than if you're a Trumpette and you're
I'm gonna say
my
this.
Name is if you're offended by this and you have feedback. My name is Brian Ball. So
yes, here's what I'm going to say. I don't care about your political feelings. If you're going to work as a comic, if you're making people laugh, by all means, go right ahead. It doesn't upset me. There's plenty of left-wing performers, plenty of right-wing performers. Sure. God bless them all. Just get back to that point where we could laugh at something?
Do you think there's a lot of sincere, non-ironic laughter at the Trump rat rally, though?
I mean, yes, I do.
To contradict your point, but anyway, that's the news.
I'm just saying, let's all get along. We'll be back next week. Who's our guest next week?
Is April Macy back?
I don't think so. We're going to find out. But either way, come see Chris Frangiola this weekend at the Carlson. We are very excited. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. Don't forget to share and subscribe. And act right. We'll catch you next time.